Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, we have a lot of stuff this week, I can imagine.
Really?
I just feel like a lot of weird shit happened this week.
Well, I hope I cover it.
I'm sorry.
Pressure's on.
Take it
well,
away.
Well, we have some. Let's get our sad news out of the way. Since we last saw you, Bob Saget died unexpectedly at the age of 65. That happened on Sunday. Was it Sunday?
I think so.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they have an official cause of death, but it was, you know, no foul play or no sort of drug paraphernalia was found. It seems likely that it was heart attack or stroke, perhaps, or something along those lines. But yeah, I saw that he had his funeral today.
Oh.
And John Mayer was holding the casket.
Like John Mayer was there?
Yes. They were like close friends. That's like sort of the mystery, the big mystery for me, that they're close friends. Like yeah. I can't figure out what the connection was.
I mean, according to all these people he worked with, or even people that we know who had worked with him in some capacity in the past, people really liked the guy. He was a really nice guy. He was great to work with.
Right. And he's famous for these very family-friendly shows like Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, but in real life had a much edgier and dirty sense of humor.
He's a filthy king.
Yes. So, I mean, what else can I say? That was definitely an unexpected death. A less unexpected death was Robert Durst finally croaked. Now, this is one of the shortest life sentences ever. I don't know what to say. He's 78 years old. He looked like he was on death's door for many years now.
Yeah.
I don't know, 10 years, like a long time.
I don't want to say we called it, because I think everyone called it, but we mentioned when he was convicted, like, we don't think he's going to last that long.
Yeah. And this actually puts some of his, I read something where it does put his conviction in limbo.
Because he was appealing
the conviction, and now because he died, it might just get vacated or thrown out.
I mean, that is like, only would that happen to Robert Durst, is that he would have the last laugh.
He's got like whatever the version of nine lives is for convictions. Like, yeah. He certainly had better luck with that than he did with his own life. So yeah, I don't know what he died of. I did hear he had COVID at some point recently. So, he's very old and sickly, so that would probably be hard to recover from. He was set to, go on trial for his first wife's murder at some point. That seemed like an ambitious goal for that prosecutor, like what they were seeing that we didn't see. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, end of an era, like, it seems like this has been going on forever.
Right.
His shenanigans, to say the least.
Now they're over.
They're finally over. Melon is mourning. I don't think so. So yeah, those were sort of the big deaths. Oh, I'm sorry. One more big death that's actually sad, not like Robert Durst. Ronnie Spector also died this week.
Very sad.
So that's awful. Obviously, we talked about her some in our episode on Phil Spector.
We talked about her a lot.
Yeah.
One of our listeners reached out to us on Twitter and asked if we were going to do a Ronnie Spector episode. And most of my research for the Phil Spector episode was from Ronnie Spector's memoir. So
right.
We talked largely about her early life.
As far as Phil goes.
We talked a lot about her early life, though, and her early career, and obviously her whole relationship with Phil Spector. I don't know if we'll do a separate episode on Ronnie Spector. Maybe.
Maybe she deserves her own episode.
I mean, we loved her.
Yeah, I don't know. So she had been battling cancer for a short time, according to her family. I mean, obviously, very sad. She's great. But what a great legacy. Did you see the picture I posted of her eating at a diner?
Yes.
That was just, I loved her in that picture. She's like, don't touch my food or something like that.
It was a great picture.
Yeah. So that was like a more recent picture and it was cute. Yeah. Very sad. She's a cool, cool lady. Okay. So now we're going to move on to, let's get some of these other ones out of the way. Prince Andrew was stripped of his military titles and his charities, as well as his Royal Highness title by the Queen this week. Who cares? I whenever the royals punish each other with these things, it's like, what the fuck does that do? Like, he's still rich and like free.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if he gets to be called Royal Highness anymore. Like, I'm always like, I would still secretly do it. Like, when they do it for more stupid reasons.
It's just theater.
It's just theater. I don't know the significance of this. Did she, is it like a, here you go, here's like a little penance
right
for him so everyone will shut up? He will be going on trial for the crimes he likely committed with Jeffrey Epstein. His victim was Virginia
Guffrey
is pleased with the ruling that said that this can move forward. So we will follow it. I hope he pays for what he did.
Yeah.
And yeah, I want to see more guys go down for this stuff, this connection, especially if they committed the sex crimes. I don't know. If they just went on the jet, who knows? you got to be sus, but like, yeah. Maybe there's not enough evidence there.
Let's look into that though.
I'll look into that more. I'm going to be allegedly suspicious. So someone sent us this story to our email, hollywoodcrimescene@gmail.com. If you have stories you think we should cover, send them to us because we miss things sometimes.
Yeah.
We're very online, but you never know.
We're more likely to see if... You're more likely to reach us if you reach out to us by email than if you are by Instagram or even Patreon messages.
Yes. So that's where to reach us if it's dire, like a very breaking story that's about shit
or
something.
Or whatever. You want to
yell
at us, yell at us through our email.
No, yell at us through Instagram because we don't check that.
Okay, yeah, you're
make
right.
Make it go into
right.
The suggested message file, please. We have enough going on. So this one was cute, though. It said, it's from the Daily Mail. It said, out at home, Portland Pickles baseball team axes Twitter takeover by its mascot after unfortunate photo crop made thumbs up Snap look like a pic of his penis.
What? Can you... What?
He tweeted...
Who?
The Portland Pickles have a mascot.
What? Okay, what is the Portland Pickles?
It's like a small baseball team in Portland.
Oregon?
Yeah.
The Portland Pickles?
I don't even know if it's AAA or I don't even know if it's associated.
Even heard it might be Portland Pickles before.
So he gave a thumbs up picture, but when it was cropped on Twitter, because Twitter pictures get cropped sometimes.
A guy on the team.
The mascot. Who is a pickle.
Okay.
So the mascot is a pickle.
Yes, I see.
A pickle in a baseball uniform. Okay. He posts a picture because he's taking over the Twitter account. So he goes, new phone, who dis? Like a very popular little saying. It's a picture of him giving a thumbs up, but the cropping made it look like. The cropping makes it look like he has like, you know, his costume is felted.
Yes.
Pickle costume. So the thumbs up looks like he's sitting there with his legs spread and there's a huge green pickle dick. That's what it looks like because it's a large thumb. Now, this is a minor league baseball team. He got himself in quite the pickle after posting a suggestive selfie on the official Twitter page. Dylan, the popular pickle mascot,
his tweeted, name is Dylan.
Yeah,
like Dylan Pickle.
Dill Pickle.
Come on,
Dylan the Pickle. It showed him seated wearing the team's white jersey and flashing the top of his furry green finger, which he claimed was a thumbs up sign. However, The picture was cropped from the neck down, leaving little to the imagination. Now, they can't figure out if this stunt was on purpose, but he did tag several Twitter accounts with suggestive names, including Manscaped, Steak'em, Bush's Beans, Daniel Popper, Oscar Mayer, Corn Nuts, and Justin Dickmeyer. So it sounds like a little intentional, right? Within minutes of the picture being posted, the team ended his takeover of the Twitter page and called foul on his pickle prank. "We have ended our mascot takeover," the team tweeted. "It comes to our attention that this photo can be misinterpreted as a disturbing image."
Disturbing.
Dylan would like to go on record and say that he was trying to give his fans a thumbs up.
But they wink, fired wink, him anyway. Wink.
There was no immediate word on whether he will be fired.
Wait a minute. Did the mascot post the picture?
Yes, because he had taken over the account.
Okay.
So they play in the West Coast League, by the way. So yeah, I don't think he should get fired. Everyone's encouraged to be a little dirty when you're running a corporate account. I feel like it's unfair because he's probably like, this is how you do it.
Here's what I want from corporate accounts. I think you can be a little dirty from time to time, but I don't want corporate accounts trying to be funny.
I don't want them to try to be funny, but if they are funny, then I like that.
If it's unintentionally funny, but now that's such a popular thing with these corporate accounts is they're
kind of edgy.
They're trying to go viral and it's so obvious and it's like, just be a lame brand.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little try hard for sure.
I don't need to see Kellogg's Corn Flakes talking about like, who up?
Who wants to eat ass? Yeah. I'll clean your bowl out. It's always like the weirdest foods too. It's like, it's no. Like,
please leave them out of this.
Yeah, this is a child cereal. Please. So another cute cat story that was out this week. There was three cats have outmaneuvered their human owners to take hold of a Vitamix box. The owners got a deal on a Vitamix blender, which are quite expensive.
Yeah.
And they have taken the box that the blender came in hostage for weeks now. Now, these cats refuse to get off the box, and they take shifts. One will leave the box, and the other will come and stand on top of the box.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is the Vitamix still in the
box? Yes. Okay. They can't unpack this box. It arrived on December 16th. I brought it inside, set the box down on the kitchen floor, and that was a month ago. I mean, obviously, she's like tongue-in-cheek. She's like, I realize I could take the box anytime I want, but they love it so much. And she posted a picture of it as a joke, and it went viral.
Right.
So now it's become this thing where it's like, let's see how long this lasts. It's become a real turf war with her cats taking turns and always trying to be the one on top of the box.
This has happened in my house before.
Yes.
I have brought in a package and not opened it, and the cats have commandeered it. Especially Melon. Melon loves to sit on top of boxes. And one time, while he was sleeping somewhere else, I took the item out of the box and I left the box and he went to go sit on top of it and he crashed through it.
Well, the cats are the youngest, a troublemaker named Max. He is a tuxedo cat. He has the alias Sentient Soccer Ball. There's George. He is a destroyer of worlds, and he is also known as a sentient potato. The last cat is Lando Calrissian. He is a sentient dust bunny. Now, sorry, her page has grown from 64 followers to 25,000 followers as people follow the story of this Vitamix box that is being held hostage by these cats. Vitamix even sent her empty boxes to have for the cats to sit on.
They don't want that.
They don't want those.
No.
They refused to sit on it. She filled it with clothes so it would have more
structure.
And she wrote on that box, lies, because the cats refused to sit on it. So she's like, yeah, we could do it. We'll just let it ride and see how everyone's kind of enjoying this. So why not keep it going since it's making people happy? She posts updates. So it's just a very silly thing. But I love the cats taking over that box because it's very cat. And we all know, if you know cats, you know that this is a very true story.
I saw a tweet recently. I forget like how it went exactly, but it was basically like, oh, that's our trash pile. Like, that's the cat's trash pile, and we can't get rid of it because that's where the cat sleeps.
Yes.
Like, that pile of garbage over there, that's for the cat.
They Well, I was laughing at the rescue where we volunteer. Certain cats have stuffies. And, yes. like, on their cage, there'll be signs like, do not remove the penguin stuffy from this cage. This is this cat's stuffy. And it's like really adorable that they have this attachment. And it's like, how dare you? Like, don't remove this. Like, I just love that these cats have these preferences.
It's true. We have a toy here that my cat Kugel is obsessed with. And every single night he runs around the house with that toy in his mouth. And it's falling apart at this point. And I'm going to have to replace it. And I don't know what I'm going to do.
I know. I've been thinking, I think about it a lot. Because I know, like, I'm like, we need to get the flavor on a new, new right. toy.
We're going to have to rub the new toy with the old toy so it has some of that seasoning on it.
Well, it's kind of like they say when, like, one of your cats die, you should let the other cat see them.
Oh.
So that they know they're gone.
This is sad.
But I'm just saying, like, it's like they need to see it
right.
be gone right. so they don't, they're not constantly looking for it. I know
oh,
that's sad.
My gosh.
But
I'm gonna fucking cry.
I know. Okay. Sorry about that. Sorry. Did we talk about the moon juice on the after show? Do we want to hit that story or are we done?
We briefly mentioned that there was a moon juice article that came out. We talked about it on we referenced it on Spotify, Green Room.
Okay. Well, let me just hit it because I think we've talked about her before. This is an LA-based store called Moon Juice. It is a wellness juicery. They have beauty products, etc.
The beauty products that they have, by the way, it's not like makeup and stuff. I think they do have like a very limited skincare line now, but they have different dusts that you can
buy.
But
they have a potion that they always try to get me to buy on Instagram. They're like, don't use P70.
P50.
Use this. Like, that's toxic.
No.
And I'm like, I like toxic.
No. The reason that P50 1970 is great is because it is so fucking toxic.
Right. Well, her name is Amanda Chantel Bacon. I love that her last name is Bacon.
It's
like,
great.
I'll never get over it. She's sort of the owner and
face
of Moon Juice, but she's everywhere. She's had numerous articles written about her where she looks like a huge fucking asshole. But not only has she come off like a pretentious piece of shit, she's actually a bad boss. So she has been polarizing to her former employees. Through the early years, they said that she was, quote, magical. I mean, come on. According to former staffers, though, the company became increasingly focused on the way its employees projected the company's values, whether it was, as the ex-employees say, requiring staff to wear all-white clothes while making juices at its retail store or to consume the company's juice and food products while on the job with a $12 daily budget.
Is this the Eater LA article?
Yes.
Okay.
That's ridiculous because $12 is like one juice.
Yeah. It's one juice for $12.
So how are you going to survive?
So what you're saying is
they get $12 to spend on the food that they eat there, that they're required to eat or suggested to eat, but they only get a budget of $12.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. So the report offers multiple instances of Bacon, sometimes difficult management style, detailing an instance where she allegedly tried to coerce a former regional manager who expressed she may have contracted COVID-19 to show up at a store, or ignoring employees who approached her with questions. The report acknowledges that the unfair expectation of women in leadership at emerging companies, where the likes of Gwyneth Paltrow of Goop. She should have called it Goop. It's Gwyneth Goop. Or Sarah Blakely of Spanx are expected to embody the essence of their brands while males get to kind of get a pass on this stuff.
I don't care. She's a bad boss.
She's a bitch.
I don't give a shit that she's a
woman. I don't care if she's a woman either. So yeah, I mean, not exactly unexpected, but that's insane to wear all white too while you're making juices.
Yeah.
Come on.
Especially that
we get like fucking, you know, pomegranate all over yourself. Come on.
There was a great article I believe it was Elle magazine. It came out like 5 or 6 years ago about, it was like a profile of
Amanda. That's like where she kind of broke out, knew who she was.
It was a profile of Amanda Chantel Bacon, and it basically explained a day in the life of Amanda Chantel Bacon. So it was like, she wakes up at 5:30 in the morning. She does yoga and meditation. Then she has like a cup of hot lemon water with like some sex dust in it. That's a product that she sells at Moon Juice. Like, I know way too much about this woman.
Right.
I know a lot.
I remember that. And I, her food was insane. It was like 4 organic carrots.
No, not even carrots. Carrots have too much sugar in it. Probably. It wasn't even that. It was like mushrooms from, the bowels of some forest in Mongolia.
And didn't they figure out the cost of her daily food? It was like crazy.
$1,000.
Yeah. It was wild. Okay. So this story from the New York Post, man claims his penis shrank 1.5 inches. COVID dick is real, says docs. Docs said COVID dick. I'm sorry.
Where is this out of?
New York Post. What doc said COVID dick? Because whenever you ever search for something scientific and you accidentally put like dick in and you're like, oh, I have to say penis.
Right.
Like, like there's a way to say things.
This doctor is quoted as saying COVID dick is real.
Yes.
Or the patient said that.
No. Let's see. As if contracting COVID wasn't bad enough, a man now claims that he has lost a whopping 1.5 inches from the length of his penis as a lingering result of the virus. My penis has shrunk, said the griping guy. I'm a heterosexual man in my 30s. He wrote into a podcast called How to Do It. I don't know the podcast. In July of last year, I contracted COVID and was very sick. When I got out of the hospital, I had erectile dysfunction issues. That's something I have heard happens to people. So he said that he had an above average size dick before, but after his bout with COVID, his privates lost their luster. He said, my erectile dysfunction gradually got better with some medical attention, but I seem to be left with a lasting problem. Before I got sick, my penis was above average, not huge, but definitely bigger than normal. Now I've lost about 1.5 inches, becoming decidedly less than average. He claimed that the medical advisor attributed his pecker problem to vascular damage caused by COVID. Now that is something I've heard. Like, if you think of the lung stuff, but it actually can cause vascular damage.
I just don't understand how you can lose volume on your actual dick. I can understand maybe you have erectile problems.
Like, I think it shrinks because the tissue isn't
as... The tissue shrinks?
Yeah, because it's not getting as much blood.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't sound like it's a loss in volume of the actual penis itself, but a loss in blood going to the area.
Right. But when you get an erection, a loss of blood would mean it doesn't get as big.
Right. So
that's what's happening.
It's not his actual dong.
No, his soft penis might be exactly the same.
That's what I mean.
But when it gets hard, the blood flow has lost him 1.5 inches.
Wow.
That's pretty sad. Now, the doctor who did say COVID dick is real, that's a doctor from the podcast. So they're like a doctor, a real doctor, but kind of a podcast doctor.
But a silly doctor.
Yeah, where they're like, they're on the show, so they're using language that's a little more fun, I guess. so be careful out there, guys. We don't want you to lose that.
What if that was your doctor?
Yeah.
What if
she's a real doctor. She's like a urologist.
Wait. Oh, I know about this doctor.
Dr. Dick? Sorry.
I've heard about this doctor. She,
Ashley?
I don't know her name, but I've just heard about this doctor. I think her husband's a comedian and they do a show together.
Oh, okay. Is it called whatever that podcast was called?
What was it called?
What Did You Do or something?
I don't
or
know.
What Did This? I think it's a big podcast.
It is a big podcast, I think, or at least semi whatever popular.
Yeah.
But I think I've heard of this urologist and I always forget her name, but I think she,
her name is Ashley. I clicked the article away, but I can't, so I don't remember her last name.
All right,
we'll
look into it.
It's fine. You guys can tell us what it is. Okay. My last story is Britney Spears is in the news again. Look, I gotta love someone who gets a fever and goes off on people. And she's going off on her sister, Jamie Lynn, who has written a memoir. So on Wednesday.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
What is Jamie Lynn Spears thinking? Does she think, honestly, did she think that this was a good idea, that we were going to be on her side about this? Does she really believe that anybody gives a shit about reading her memoir, which apparently is framing it as, I am so hurt when we all know, at least, you know, according to Britney, that she stood by and did nothing while she suffered for 13 years.
Jamie Lynn is the epitome of read the room. Like, she did not read the room.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, even if she's telling the truth, I don't think she is. I'm just saying, even if that was true, you still wouldn't do that right at this moment in time. Like,
it's
do you
gross.
Know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. Here's a memoir I'd be interested if she really had sex, or if the baby of her father of her baby is that guy who created all those kid shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would be a memoir I'd be kind of interested in.
That's what we want to know about.
So, yeah. So, anyway, Jamie Lynn went on Good Morning America and talked about growing up with Britney. In response, Britney shared her thoughts in her now signature style post of screenshots from her notes app. She posted to Twitter describing that she was sick with 104 degree fever while watching her little sister promote the tell-all memoir. It was actually nice having a fever so high, she said, because I had to surrender to not caring. In the GMA interview, Jamie Lynn talked about her upcoming memoir called Things I Should Have Said. Ugh, what a gross title. It's like this could be a good memoir if she did admit to all the shitty things she did, or let things slide, or stand by and not do anything.
I haven't seen that many excerpts from the memoir. I just saw one that was basically like, what about me?
Yes. There was also something I think she accused Britney of threatening her with a knife. And Britney was like, I was cutting squash. Like, it was just kind of some crazy. Look, families fight. And for Jamie to act like it was anything sinister after Britney had just gone through 13 years of having to prove she wasn't, you know, incapable of taking care of herself.
Right.
Is fucked up.
It is fucked up.
This book comes out next week. I don't know anyone who would buy this fucking book.
I mean, according to popular opinion on the internet, everyone's like, how dare you?
No, I haven't seen
so
anyone
who's buying
interested.
This?
So she said she believes she's always been her sister's biggest supporter. She denied involvement in the conservatorship. She even claimed, I think today somewhere, that she didn't even know what that meant. It's like, Google it, bitch. She claimed to not understood what was going on. However, she openly shared her thoughts on what it was like to grow up around Britney, calling Britney's behavior paranoid and erratic. She also defended her tribute performance at 2017 Radio Disney Music Awards, where she sang remixes of her sister's hit songs.
That's embarrassing.
Britney touches on that. Britney clapped back at her, saying that Jamie Lynn said how my behavior was out of control. She was never around me much 15 years ago. So why are they even talking about that unless she wants to sell a book at my expense? Exactly. Now, the tribute performance, Britney opened up about that as well, saying that she had to watch her sister bask in the glory of all of the decades of her hard work. I wrote a lot of my songs and my sister was the baby. She never had to work for anything. Everything was always given to her. As far as alluding back to her lack of control under the conservatorship, she said, I had to sit there and take it, watching Jamie do this on screen. And she concluded her notes app rant with, hope your book does well, Jamie Lynn. It wasn't in a passive aggressive font, but that's how I'm taking it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was, it was great.
Four screens the notes app.
Yeah.
It goes into her fever. Look, I just really relate who someone's like, yes, I'm on death's door, but my last dying breath, I will take down my stupid sister. That's the kind of energy I like to bring to my life. And I'm happy that Britney can feel free to do this now without worrying that it's going to affect her in a negative way because of the conservatorship.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Jamie Lynn is thinking. Everything that comes her way right now is deserved because she shouldn't have done this. Like, it's just bad.
Grossly opportunistic.
Yeah. And it's true. Like, she would have no career if it wasn't for Britney. Like,
zero.
Whatever she has is because of Britney.
Yeah.
So
just
it's weird.
Sit back and be quiet.
Got your fucking Zoe 101 money or whatever show she was on.
Yeah. Raise your two kids in Louisiana, wherever the fuck you guys live now, and just be quiet and like let your sister live.
Seriously. That's our stories for the week.
Great.
We did have a lot.
A lot of weird shit happened this week.
I got scared when you said it because I was like, did I have?
No,
I was like, did I miss something?
No, you hit every single point that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, good.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Not only did they help me find and cancel some of my unwanted subscriptions, in general, they've given me a great picture of my financial status and helped me save money. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love the dashboard that shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. That's rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. I'm a huge fan of cashmere, and that can be a very expensive habit. That's why I was so excited to find Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am absolutely living in my black cashmere mini dress, and to be honest, I want to buy like 3 more because I can't imagine my life without them. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Hollywood for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Hollywood to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Hollywood.
Desi, what are we watching this week?
Well, I'm still slogging through The Affair, as you are.
I gotta say, none of this shit would be happening to Noah Soloway if he just didn't fuck that waitress in Montauk. All of the bad shit in his life is because of this affair. And I know that's the point of the show, but like it's so over the top that it's like, I bet you regret that now, huh?
Just that one little dick dip.
The one dick dip ruined his whole fucking life.
Seriously.
And everyone around him ruined their lives.
It's one of those things where it's like, and now he's not even that invested in her.
No.
I mean, the classic affair, you know.
It sounded like a good idea at the time. The next thing you know, your entire life is falling apart.
The problem is you're unhappy about something in your life that possibly could be fixed if you work on it. But instead you think this is the answer and this is why I'm unhappy because I'm really in love with this person. You build it up. It's just such a classic. It's infuriating to watch this man ruin everyone's life for his quest to be personally happy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so annoying. Like, I want everyone to find their happiness.
Right.
But if you're only, like, destroying lives to get it, you need to rethink your fucking goals and, like, standards.
Did we watch Sex and the City? Or
yesterday?
And Just Like That? Have you seen just it? Like,
well, who are we fooling? It's not called And Just Like That. It's new Sex in the City, and that's what we all call it. I did not get to it, but I did get a spoiler that Steve fingered Miranda. Is that true?
Yes. Okay. But Okay.
I'm sickened.
because Miranda is still pining after Che Diaz. First of all, I would like to say that it brings me great joy and great glee that I'm not the only person. There are millions of people just like me who fucking hate Che Diaz, who agree that Che Diaz is probably one of the worst characters ever on television.
Che Diaz haunts my thoughts daily. And I'm not exaggerating. I think about Che once a day. Che once a day keeps my doctor away.
The reason that Steve fingered Miranda, and by the way, he washed his hands before he totally like broke out. I mean, like, whatever. I appreciate that your hands are clean, but it was like it ruined the mood.
Well, like, you don't want a guy to worry about cleanliness in those moments. It was necessarily.
The reason he fingered her is because Miranda was desperately trying to recreate that feeling she had when Che fingered her in Carrie's kitchen. And so she's like, I'm going to try and like reignite the spark in my marriage. I'm still married to fucking Steve Brady.
Yeah.
So she's like, will you finger me? And he's like, yeah. And he like goes
over. I'm going to vomit.
Anyway, I have lots of problems with the show, but I will faithfully watch it every single week.
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how the Che Diaz storyline plays out. I mean, I think I know.
Yeah.
What's going to happen, because it seems pretty obvious that this is going to hurt Miranda at some point.
I don't. The fingering by Steve was not even the worst part of the episode.
I'm going to watch it. I just haven't gotten to it. The thing about Steve is I know that I'm not in the majority here, but I have always hated Steve. I don't get his relationship with Miranda. I don't know why she ever wanted him. So it's always been baffling. Everything associated with Miranda this season is my least favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Including her fucking son. Ugh. And his girlfriend. Like, I hate Brady and I hate his girlfriend. Like, I'm so repulsed by that, with the scene where she's like, is this my lube? It's like, no. Like,
it's just unrealistic. Like, my parents were very, like, sort of liberal about having boys stay over the house. Like, I always was allowed to have like my boyfriends sleep over at both, you know, like,
yeah.
That wasn't a big deal, but there was no way in hell that I was going to be like loudly fucking anybody so that they could hear.
Beyond what your parents allowed, why would you want them to hear that?
That's what I'm saying.
It's wrong. First of all,
it's rude.
Whoever it is, it's rude to fuck like that if you're in someone's house. Like,
yes.
Come on. Like,
it's
unless,
rude.
Yeah. So, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm going to continue watching it. I guess we also finished up Dexter this week.
Ugh. Okay. I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything in case there's people who haven't watched the Dexter New Blood reboot. I'm sad. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
So that's over. We recommend it.
Yeah, I recommend it. I'm just fucking sad. And I just wish I could watch Dexter for 100 years.
And then we also have the finale of Yellow Jackets coming up this week. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
So hopefully we get some answers. Because it's kind of like, what are they wrapping up?
Right.
Because it seems like a lot to wrap up. I mean, obviously there's a second season planned. But I want to get some kind of concrete, reveal.
We did get one reveal. We did get a good reveal this past episode, though.
We did?
Who was blackmailing?
Oh, yeah, but I kind of knew that.
Yeah.
So I want something more satisfying. Like,
right.
I was already kind of thinking that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good reveal. But I wanted a more satisfying. I want more. I want a really good one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's good. I'm not downplaying it. I mean, that episode started off with a great moment too.
Yes.
I mean, it's not a bad episode, but I don't want to leave the season feeling like I still don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
We want some answers.
Yes.
Not all the answers.
Yes. Some answers that's like gets me back for season two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much it. Oh, I started Station 11, which I'm recommending, even though I've only seen 1.5 episodes.
Yeah.
But it is about a flu outbreak that ends the world, like Armageddon type deal. So you might not be in the mood for it, understandably, but it's based on a very award-winning science fiction novel I think so. So I don't know. It's a very high quality show. Yeah. Like it is a good show, but it's just a matter of being in the mood for it.
I'm also watching Broadchurch.
Okay. I've always wanted to watch
it's
this.
It's good.
Okay.
It's, you know what? You know, I love British television. So
no, I didn't know that. Yes,
I've talked about that on this show. I'm telling you, you have to watch Marcella.
Wait, I feel like I'm in like a different world right now. Wait, you told me to watch Marcella?
Yes. Okay. Like 100 episodes ago.
Okay.
You would like it. She's very messy.
No, I've heard other people say
and
it's a
very
good show.
Horny.
Oh.
She's very horny and very messy. And okay. It's a very good, it's a dark show. It's twisted.
Okay.
It's fucking twisted.
I love twisted shit. I'm bad.
I think you would like Marcella. No, I really, yes, I'm enjoying Broadchurch.
This is with Gillian Anderson.
No, that's The Fall.
That's The Fall.
This is with Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman. And who's the actor, the guy? Is it David Tennant?
He's Scottish.
Oh, okay.
There's a Scottish guy. And then there's the girl who plays Doctor Who. Jodie Whittaker. She's great.
And the guy, I feel like I know who the guy is.
I know, I do too. Everyone's screaming.
It's fine. We'll Google it immediately after.
Okay. Here's why I'm watching Broadchurch. It's been one of those shows I've been meaning to watch for a while, but I had to give something else that I could watch with Brendan because he becomes so sick of me like binging The Affair. I'm like, okay, let's like watch something we can both agree on 100%.
Yeah.
So I paid for a subscription to PBS Masterpiece Theater or whatever. So I'm like, you know what? After we finish this, we're going to watch Downton Abbey and like, we're just going to do it because now I have this fucking subscription.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get my money's worth.
You're going to get all fancy.
You know who loved Downton Abbey? My grandma.
Aw.
My grandma loves Masterpiece Theater.
I watched like one season of Downton Abbey.
You did? Was it good?
Honestly, sometimes my threshold for British like snooty dramas is very low. I know it was very popular, but it's just like sometimes I just don't want to hear those voices. I'm sorry. I was just like, okay. Like I can enjoy more modern set British things, but when they're a little bit like period, it's just like I have like a low threshold. Yeah. That's on me.
That's on you.
Because I'm trash.
Because you're trash.
I didn't grow up watching it.
No.
So I'm just kind of like, oh, fancy. Like when I hear Masterpiece Theater, I'm like, ooh la la. Like just like trash with my fucking Lay's chips. Even though I know I would like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Peaky Blinders, which has a new season coming.
How do you know that?
Because I saw a big ad. I was like, I'm not watching it. Why are you telling me?
Right.
And now I'm like, so many people have told me, like, I feel like I'm going to watch Peaky Blinders one day.
No, I tried to watch Peaky Blinders. I watched half of the first episode and I couldn't get into it.
Okay.
And maybe I need to push through that first episode.
I mean, I've had things I didn't get into that I tried again and then liked it. So it,
yes.
Like I said before, it's really my mood.
Yes.
And my attention span is shit these past few years.
Yeah.
So I can only do things that are trash, like The Affair. but yeah, no, that's good. I'm glad you're going to watch Downton Abbey. That was like the big Twitter viewing thing
that
for a few years.
That was an early Twitter show, like where I feel like there's those shows in the not early days, early days of Twitter, but like the mid early days of Twitter where it was like
when like 2014.
Yeah, like 2014, like everyone was tweeting about Downton Abbey and also everyone was tweeting about Orange is the New Black.
And True Detective. No, True Detective, but
Breaking Bad.
That was a big one too.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that everyone was tweeting about Breaking Bad. It was that everyone was tweeting about Low Winter Sun, which was the show that AMC tried to push. That was like
But everyone was tweeting about Breaking Bad.
Yes, but they were also tweeting about this show called Low Winter
Sun. Yes, I remember Low Winter Sun.
Nobody watched
it. I guarantee you I have a tweet making fun of it.
I do, too. None of us watched it, but we all saw the promos for
watching Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Because they tried to get us.
I miss Breaking Bad so much.
We need like a good show. I feel like there isn't a big show right now that everyone's watching. Like Yellow Jackets to some extent.
Yeah.
But not everyone is watching Yellow Jackets. It's like a slower build. Like everyone's watching Succession. That was sort of the last one, I guess.
I'm telling you, I can't wait for the fucking Game of Thrones prequel to come out.
Oh, right.
I don't even care if it's bad. I just can't wait for it to come out.
We like shows where it's about shows we already watched. Those ones are easy to get into, though.
Because I know the universe.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Better Call Saul. We have one final season of Better Call Saul.
Okay.
That's going to be very sad for me when it ends. I just hope that Vince Gilligan, like my dream is that he continues to just create spinoffs of the Breaking Bad universe just for me personally.
Yeah. Well, they make money and they're popular, so
I
don't see why.
I mean, you could do a spinoff in the Breaking Bad universe that took place like 25 years before the events. You could do one that takes place in the past.
Yeah.
I have Vince call me. I have ideas.
He's a friend of the pod. I don't know.
Well, Brendan's in the Breaking Bad universe.
That's right. So you have a connection.
We have a look.
Invite him over for latkes.
Okay. So what did we eat?
Oh, do I have anything good to talk about? No, but Rachel gave me a recipe for a chicken vindaloo that's actually very good.
Isn't it?
It's just surprisingly good because it's like some rando chili pepper website where you see it, you're like, okay, she said it was good though.
I was looking up recipes for chicken vindaloo because I was like really craving Indian food and I wanted something that was going to be fairly easy to make, but I didn't want to do a tikka masala because I didn't want to use a bunch of heavy cream. I was like, vindaloo, that's light.
Yeah.
That's a lot lighter. So I was just like going through recipes online and then I find this one website and I've never heard of this website before. The like graphic design of it was definitely like, and it was not sleek. It's not a sleek looking website. It looks like a couple steps above GeoCities.
Yeah.
Great recipe though.
Yeah. It's also like five ingredients, which is really rare. I mean, I guess there's more spices in the marinade. It's like for an Indian recipe, though, it seemed really tame because sometimes an Indian recipe can have like 20 ingredients in it. Like
the thing is, there's a ton of different spices in it. There's like at least 10 different spices in it.
Right.
But it was a lot of ingredients that you might already have at your house.
Also, you could probably just use a curry powder
if you were desperate,
because it's basically all the spices that make up a curry powder, like a store-bought curry.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would be very good as well.
The thing I liked about this recipe is that it was very spicy because a lot of times, sometimes you'll find recipes where it's just not that spicy.
No, because it has real peppers in it, hot peppers.
It has a few different kinds. It has dried chili flakes and I cut up a serrano pepper and put it in there.
Yes.
And so, then there's like, I don't know, it was good. It was spicy.
So yeah, that was really satisfying. I ate it for a few days because I made a bunch of it.
Yeah.
And it was really good every time.
Yeah, me too.
And by the way, I really love the mango ginger chutney from Trader Joe's.
I've never had
it. It's a hot tip. It's so good. So I had like a little dab of that on it, which is nice with the spice.
Yeah.
One of my secrets is when I make a chicken curry, I'll put a little chutney and some apricot jam in the sauce and it makes the spiciness have like a little sweet and it's really good.
That sounds good.
It's really good. I saw it in a recipe a long time ago. So whenever I just kind of wing a curry, I'll always add a little, some of that sweetness. It's a very small amount, but it makes like a difference.
Yeah. That sounds good.
So yeah, that's all I had. I don't think I made anything. We want to come up with a baking project that we'll do.
Soon.
Maybe we'll do the almond, the Bakewell, the cherry Bakewell.
Yeah.
We'll
do something British.
Exciting. We'll post pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I had. Did you have anything interesting?
No, just the chicken vindaloo that I also made this week.
It's a vindaloo. I'm going to make it again.
I did order a burrito from Rodeo Express Grill. Whenever the last time you were over here, you left at like 9 p.m. and I was like so hungry and like I looked at the sink and like the pans were dirty and I was like, I'm going to fall apart right now if I don't eat something immediately. And what is the best option for that? It's a burrito.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this already.
I know I'm mentally ill because part of me was like upset. I was like, she got a burrito. And I went home and it had probably like Ezekiel toast or something.
It was good. Yeah. I really love the burritos from Rodeo Express. I gotta have one. They're so good.
Okay. I mean, I like a basic bitch burrito.
It's a basic bitch burrito, but it's like, there's no surprises in there, but in a good way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You don't want any surprises. Yeah. That's the drama of eating a burrito. They could just shove anything in there. Get rid of stuff.
Get rid of, put some weird shit in there. No, it's a great burrito. I really like it.
Okay. So yeah, that's all we got.
That's all we got. We will see you all next week for our main episode. Oh, God damn it. I keep forgetting to mention.
Okay.
Well, I was going to, I had like several. Okay. We're not done this episode because okay. I have several things to plug.
Oh, okay.
Well, one thing to plug, not several.
Wow. But this is dramatic.
Okay. So I did a podcast a couple months ago and it's up now, available to listen to.
Wow. That's some serious editing.
One of my really good friends, Andy Sell, hosts a podcast called Ghoul School, which is the episodes, they come out like pretty sparingly because he has another horror podcast that he does. But Ghoul School is like, if you want an education in horror movies, like in a non-pretentious, really interesting way, you'll really like this podcast. He's very funny. We did an episode together. He had me on. He does this thing where he'll have a guest on and they'll pick a movie that really impacted them or that means something to them in some right. way. And then he picks a movie that's a more obscure movie for like a double feature that would pair with that movie. And it's sort of, he goes sort of in an out of the box way of like, and then we talk about the first movie and then he explains why he picked this movie to pair with it. And right. we talk about the themes of that movie. So Ghoul School, I'm on the latest episode of that. Andy also has another podcast that's great that I wanted to give a shout out to. It's called Look Good for the Boys. It is a podcast he co-hosts with his friend Philip. They're hilarious. They have really great chemistry. And basically, it's described as a horror gossip podcast. So it's like, it's not down into the weeds of like horror nerd shit as much as it is like, let's talk shit about each and every character in this horror franchise. Like who's hot, who's not, you know, based on like the victims, like they'll go through a list right. of the victims and be like, this person's not hot. Like it's just, they're very funny. Anyway, they just did a rundown of the entire Scream franchise up to Scream 4. And they went down the list of every single victim in the Scream movies. And it's very, very funny. And then the episode I listened to today was great. Neither of them, are going to go see Scream 5 in the theaters because of COVID. So they basically recreated their ideal version of what Scream 5 would look like. And they went through that point by point and it's hilarious. So I highly recommend the latest episode of Look Good for the Boys. If you are a Scream fan and you want a good laugh, those are my podcast plugs. My other plug is a plug for us. And that is, if you want to listen to this episode ad-free or the next episode ad-free, we are now including our ad-free main and mini episodes on our Patreon, patreon.com/HollywoodCrimeScene.
I actually wanted to recommend a podcast too. I forgot because we haven't had podcast recommendations no. in a while. So I've been listening to this regularly. It is a friend of the pod, Molly McAleer. She has a podcast called Trend Lightly, where she talks about the internet stories and trends, TikTok, Twitter, scandals. Like she did a whole thing on the bad art friend. So like whatever sort of topic everyone's talking about online, she kind of recaps for the week. It's really funny and I love hearing what happened online.
Yeah.
And she does a lot of TikTok stuff, which I don't really follow, but I'll kind of have a loose idea of it. She hosts it with a woman named Tiffany Maddox, a British woman. And they also, like you said, they have a good chemistry. I like it a lot. It's very light listening. So it's fun to listen to. You don't have to pay attention. That's, you know, it's not like a history or even like ours where you have to follow the story. It's like you can kind of pop in and out. Like I'll turn off after 15 minutes if I'm getting into the car, like whatever, like you can just kind of listen to it as you go along. So I like that kind of podcast to have in my bank.
Yeah.
One of those kind of things.
That sounds
just pick
good.
It up. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. I like it. So yeah, that's all I got. Any other plugs?
Oh God, I'm sure I'll remember later.
Oh, well, also let's plug our socials. Follow us on Instagram. We post all of our pictures related to our show there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to be more active on Twitter. So follow us on Twitter
as well. Desi's been posting GIFs.
I post GIFs.
Desi posted a GIF yesterday.
I posted
yesterday.
Something. I did. Because like, I'm promoting our show coming up. So I'm getting people primed for Amanda Woodward.
Oh, our...
Possible.
We haven't even talked about that on this feed.
Oh, we haven't.
We've only talked about that on Patreon. Okay. Should we talk about that on this feed?
Well, maybe we should wait.
Okay.
But something's coming.
Something's coming.
Yeah, get excited. So yeah, that's what that was about. So if you want to get inside scoops where I get high and accidentally post things. I did actually, it was like, I did mean to post something
so
on our
out of the blue. It was so,
cause I'm trying to be more active on Twitter to grow Twitter.
I liked it because look, I really love that scene in Melrose Place where where Amanda Woodward says to Allison, you are humiliating all of us.
It's a gift that you can use. Why is that gift not used more?
Because people don't know.
People don't know.
Because I don't think people really use gifts anymore.
But that's a good one. I don't really use gifts, but I think that scene is really funny.
Oh, I need to get a video clip of that. We need a video clip of that.
So yeah, I'm trying to be more active on Twitter. So get on there and you'll get announcements and me posting stupid things that I see. Like I post a really good a video clip of Robert Mitchum. And now I'm going to do an episode on him because everyone really responded to it.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to push me, or Rachel even. I'll show her what you do. To do episodes you want.
Yeah.
It actually did inspire me to do that episode because I was like, oh, I never even thought of that. He's a great, because he's been arrested for pot. And like he actually has an interesting life. And I found a good book already on him. So I don't know when I'll get to it, but definitely this year. So I'm excited for that because that's a hot man.
Ugh.
Just...
So hot.
I did get mad because someone was like, have you ever seen Night of the Hunter?
Who said that?
Someone on Twitter. Like, it's like, yes, I've seen Night of the Hunter. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, pick an obscure movie. That's a chance. Like, it's hard not to get mad sometimes because it's like, I'm a fan of his.
Right.
I posted this and you think I didn't see his most famous movie that he's ever done?
Also,
come on.
Directed by friend of the show, Charles Lawton.
Like, it's crazy. Like, yes, I've seen Night of the Hunter.
One of our favorite movies.
What, did you just watch it? I've seen it like 20 years ago, bitch. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that mad about it. But it is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And men just can't help themselves. That's what I've come to find. Okay, so now we're done, right?
Now we're done.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.